Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you. Let's turn to Joshua. A couple of things I want to say more about the crossing of the Jordan that has a bearing on what we have been saying. We have been comparing the crossing of the Jordan to what it will mean for the Christian to leave this world, to depart from this world, to go to be with Christ. I believe that what happened at the Jordan is a very, very good picture for us to think about. So that it is our privilege, boys and girls, it's our privilege to know what will take place at that moment about which the world knows nothing, on which the world stands in great fear and dread. The moment of death, the moment of death. You and I are instructed by God about what it is will happen then. That's one thing about the Lord, may I say. He doesn't lead us in darkness, but he lets us know what's going to happen. He lets us know. On a number of occasions, the Savior said to the disciples, "Ye are my friends." He then went on to say, "And because you're my friends, I share with you the knowledge that I have." He doesn't hide anything from us. You and I are not walking forward into the dark. You and I are being led in the light. And God lets us know. Lets us know. I think of a verse that just comes to my mind. And it'll do us no harm to look it up. It's found in Paul's epistle, second epistle to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're looking at the verse 1. I've often used this verse at funeral services, and I have repeatedly pointed out one particular word in the verse. Verse 1 reads, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That's death for the Christian. Death is like the pulling down of one house and the moving into another more glorious house. That's the picture that the Holy Spirit directs Paul to give to you and to me. That's what death is all about. We're moving house. Hallelujah. We're moving from an old hovel to a palace beyond description. But the verse contains the word that I want you to notice. Can you see it? It's the third word. Know. Know. For we know. Didn't I tell you? We're informed. And if we're not informed about death, it's our fault. Because it's set down in God's word. And as I say, this picture given to us in Joshua chapter 3 of the crossing of the river is a picture. There used to be, years ago, a little device that you could get. And if you looked at it, you saw a picture. If you tilted it just a wee bit, oh, there was another picture. And it just had, as it were, within it, these two images, which by tilting it one way and tilting it another way, you saw. And God's word's even more wonderful, because it contains pictures that, if you look at in one light, presents one truth. In another light, it's another truth. And many times it goes on, a number of different pictures contained all in the one. That's God's word. It's a wonderful book, boys and girls. You can never exhaust it. You can never exhaust it. And here, as we look at the crossing of the Jordan, we have a picture of what will happen to the Christian at death. And that's most comforting to know. Now, what I want you to notice today is the fact that what happened at the Jordan was a repeat of what had happened at the Red Sea. When God led Israel out of Egypt, the Red Sea lay in their path, and God divided the Red Sea. Divided the Red Sea. So, what is happening here at the Jordan is a repeat of that miracle, with one difference. And I think I'm right in saying this and drawing the conclusions that I do. The difference being that the dividing of the Red Sea, while it was the same in essence as the dividing of the Jordan, it was a larger miracle, in that the amount of water involved would have been much greater at the Red Sea than it would have been in the Jordan, even though the Jordan was in flood at the time, and there would have been a lot of water. It would not have compared in size, the miracle that is, to the parting of the Red Sea. When I thought about this, you know, there was a particular thing entered my mind, and it's this. If the parting of the Red Sea pictures for us our salvation, our conversion, and it does, because what happened at that occasion? Why, Israel was being led out of Egypt, led out from under the tyranny of Pharaoh, led out from bondage, led out from grief and sorrow and misery, led out to freedom, to start for the promised land. It was the fulfilling of the great promise given to them centuries before. And it pictures for us conversion. If you're saved today, that's what God did for you. You should think about it in the light of what happened to the Israelites coming out of Egypt. God led you out of bondage. If you're saved today, you're not like other boys and girls who are in bondage to sin, to the world, and to the devil. You have been set free, free to walk with God, free to enjoy the blessing of His company and presence, free from sin. Your sin has been pardoned. You're no longer under condemnation. In Egypt, the Israelite was under death. Death ruled. Death visited every Israelite home under the command of Pharaoh. Kill the man children. Kill the boys. Death was there everywhere. It affected mother and father as they mourned for their sons. It affected the girls as they mourned for the loss of their brother. Oh, there was many to wee lassie. It's impossible to conceive how she would have felt as they came and took away her baby brother. That was finished. God had led them out. If you're saved, I tell you, you're free. God has led you out. You've started for heaven. And the miracle that took place at the Red Sea just pictures for us that great thing called conversion. Here's the point, boys and girls, and I hope I'm getting it across to you. The crossing of the Jordan was of the same essence as this miracle, the dividing of the water. Same power was at work, but it didn't take nearly as great a miracle to get them into the land of Israel as it took to get them out of the land of Egypt. Now, the lesson for you to learn is this. Death is not such a great thing or problem for the child of God. You have passed through an experience, if you're saved, you have passed through an experience that took more of God's power to bring about than it will to take you into heaven. Are you getting the point? There's nothing to be feared about death. There's nothing to be feared. It is not the great and dreadful event that the world sees it to be. For the Christian, it is even an event that does not entail to the same degree the power that God exercised when He saved you. And when He saved you, what a joyful thing that was. What a joyful thing that was. You likely remember a lot about that time that you were saved, wherever it took place. If I were to sit down and ask you questions, you'd probably tell me quite a few details about that event. Well, you see, there was wrought in your life a greater miracle. There was took place in your life a greater exercising of God's power than will be necessary to take you into heaven. Therefore, we can throw away our fears. I have experienced a greater measure of God's power when I was saved than I will experience when He takes me into heaven. That entailed a greater battle than will be the battle to take me to heaven. I want you to think about that. And I want you to comfort yourself in the knowledge of what it is God's Word teaches us. What lies ahead of us is not the dark thing that the world is terrified of, but rather it is an event that in dimension is smaller than the event by which you were converted. I'm thinking too of the actual crossing of the Jordan. How long did it take them? How long did it take them? It took them 40 years to get from Egypt through the wilderness to the Jordan. But how long did it take them to cross the Jordan and enter the promised land? How long did that take? Well, it was only minutes at the most, wasn't it? I'm sure there were little boys and girls there that would have scampered on ahead of mommy and daddy. Because it was quite something to be able to walk over a riverbed. I'm sure that was quite something. And knowing little boys and girls, when they get to a place that no one has ever stood before, why, they want to have a real good look And I have no doubt there would have been a joyful crossing over. And it wouldn't have taken long. The Bible teaches us, boys and girls, that the crossing of the river of death wouldn't have taken long. How will we describe it? The blink of an eye? That's how long. Paul the Apostle says we are absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In other words, one moment you're here on this earth, the next you're in the presence of God. No great journey, no great hardship. It's hard to conceive, isn't it? But it's suggested to us by the fact that it wouldn't have taken too long for an individual who stepped off the bank and into the river bed to walk across. Peter the Apostle, 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's the verse 14. If you look at verse 13, you'll see the context. He says, "Yea, I think it meet or appropriate, proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle." Now, the tabernacle he's talking about there is his body. As long as I am in this old tent that is my body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. As long as I'm here amongst you, as long as I'm living and can preach, I want to stir you up by putting you in memory of the great truths of God. Remind you of them. That's a preacher's task, you know. Preacher's not to look for new things to say. He is to repeat the old truths again and again. Then in the verse 14 he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." First of all, Peter knew about his death. As I said, the Lord doesn't keep us in ignorance. Now, it may be true that Peter had more information about his death than most Christians have, and I would say Peter was unique in the information that he had. He knew how he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. You can read it in the last chapter of John's Gospel, where the Savior tells him how he's going to die. There's very few people know how they're going to die. But Peter was told, and while we may not have all the details about our death that Peter had about his, we still may share in a lot of knowledge concerning death that Peter had. Now see how he describes death. He says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle." I must put off this my tabernacle. There's two images present to us there. I must put off. Have you taken a coat off? Have you taken a jacket off? Did it mean much? You probably did it without even thinking. Well, that's what lies behind the language of Peter here. "As I put off a garment, so one day I have to put off this body." So one day I have to put off this body. And then there's another picture. He says, "As I have to put off this, my tabernacle." A tabernacle is a tent, basically. And I'm sure you boys, and maybe some of you girls, have done that at some time or other. Pulled out the pegs, taken down the poles, and the tent is flat. Didn't take too long, didn't take much effort. That's what is entailed in death. It's a brief, short affair that may be likened unto the taking off of a garment or the pulling down of a tent. Oh, we're back to Jordan now. And as I say, while it took them 40 years to get from Egypt to the banks of the Jordan, it only took them a couple of minutes to cross over the river. Boys and girls, there's nothing to be feared in death. The Lord Jesus has gone before for us. He has opened up the way. And what's more, he will be there. I was thinking about this. And you know, boys and girls, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. The Savior will meet you on one side of the Jordan. He'll take your hand and he'll walk you across. The Savior meets his people, welcomes his people into heaven. Rather than being afraid of death, we should look forward to that moment. We will meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with him. This will, I think, conclude our few thoughts on the crossing of the Jordan and what it teaches us. And the next time I'm with you, next week, we'll take up what it was that Joshua then did, how he led the people when they were in the promised land. We'll think about that next time. The Lord bless you. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you would take these few words about this most solemn subject and bless it to the hearts of boys and girls. The world Lord, dreads, and rightly so, because they have such a dreadful eternity awaiting them. They dread death, but Lord, we will be welcomed into the everlasting glories prepared for us from all eternity by our blessed God. Lord, it holds no fear for us. Bless the boys and girls. Comfort their hearts, we pray. And may they be anxious to see everyone they know saved, that they too will have this. Bless the school today, undertake for its activities, exam that's taking place. Bless the teachers and strengthen them, and bless the boys and girls. Amen. Amen.